What was supposed to be a call to action for thousands of Americans frustrated with the lack of immigration security at the southern border turned out to be a rally of just a few hundred over three states. I'm Skynell Hughes, and on this edition of 360 View, we're going to discuss whether the MAGA movement still possesses the power to motivate on important issues, including showing up at the polls in November. Let's get started. In January, the Supreme Court ruled the federal government, not Texas, had authority over the border, and Border Control could start cutting down the razor wire erected by Texas Governor Greg Abbott, all to help secure the border. In response, a Take Back Our Border trucker convoy, a group of Christian truckers, held events across Texas, Arizona, and California, which included concerts and speakers. Now, the aim was to help spread awareness and peacefully protest President Joe Biden's position on the border and the open border policies he stands behind. Notables like former vice presidential candidate and governor of Alaska, Sarah Palin, as well as famed rocker Ted Nugent, took the stage.
Sarah Palin with Ted Nugent, is this awesome or what?
Organizers of the protest were aiming for 700,000 plus to attend. However, actual numbers fell very short, with only several hundred showing up. Now, almost all of the latest polls show the subject of border security and immigration ranking as number two or number three on voters' minds. Yet by the showing of this latest rally against the lack of security at the southern border, you would think the only action voters are looking to take on the issue is going to be on Election Day. But it's ridiculous to think a politician is going to take care of a problem, especially if it's one they have done everything possible to avoid fixing in the past. And some might even say encouraged this problem to grow. Well, let's discuss this with our panel. Joining me today are former Democratic Congressman from Florida, Alan Grayson, whose personality is just as bright as that shirt. And from New York, we have political analyst Steve Malzberg and Director of Policy Studies at the Center for Immigration Studies, Jesse Vaughn. Thank you so much for joining me. Let's make sure that we have a lively conversation on this because I do believe it is an important issue. And I want to start with you, Jesse, because I remember the anti-Obamacare rallies that happened in 2009 in D.C. There were thousands of people. That ultimately led to the birth of the Tea Party. There was enough momentum in the anti-government-controlled health care to flip Congress in 2010. So let's move it to today. Do you think Americans really care about what is going on at the border and enough that it could actually have an effect on the outcome of an election?
They most definitely do care, and I think it really could affect the outcome of this coming election because there are such stark differences among the candidates on their immigration positions, at least between the Democrats and the Republicans. Under the last 3 years of the Biden administration, we've seen the worst crisis along the border in our history with higher levels of illegal immigration that we've ever seen and a lot of public safety and fiscal and security problems as a result. Even if maybe not everybody loves Donald Trump, but they do love his immigration policy, and I would trust Donald Trump more to bring order to our border and to get this crisis fixed. So I'm sure there will be other issues at play, but the immigration issue apparently is the one that people care most about right now, regardless of their political affiliation.
Is that how you see it, Alan, in the fact that this is an issue that's bipartisan? I know they're trying to make a deal in Washington, D.C. for it almost seems like the second decade in a row. Do you think this is something that is just clear cut between Democrats and Republicans?
No, this is Republicans trying to make an issue because they feel like making an issue. Joe Biden arrested more people at the border in 1 year than Donald Trump did in 4 years. Eight million out of the 12 million Mexicans who crossed the border during the George W. Bush administration. What this is the Republicans desperately trying to take attention away from the fact that their likely candidate has been indicted four times, is having his business stripped away from him because of fraud, and so on and so forth. He's literally the worst person in America, and they're the ones, he's the one that they're putting up to be president of the United States. They're just trying to distract us.
Okay, so Steve, do you agree that they're just trying to distract from their candidate and using immigration as the issue?
Yeah, right. Well, then it's the most successful distraction in the history of the world. Look at the polls. Look, this has all become a horrific joke. Joe Biden on day one undid all the advances that Donald Trump put into place to keep our border secure. He did it with a pen. Now he's walking around pathetically, of course, and saying he needs Congress. I need Congress for the power. I need Congress for the power. He could take the same darn pen and undo what he did on day one and put Trump's executive orders and policies back in action. Look, you have people, you have minority communities in New York City, Chicago, and all over the place up in arms over the illegals that are coming into their communities, getting housing, getting free food, getting free medical care. They're saying, what about us? What about our kids? So this speaks to all demographics. Everybody's upset about this. And this is a winning issue. I wish it wasn't an issue, but the Democrats don't want to put the border fences up. They don't want to keep it closed.
And yet, I've got to ask you, Steve, this weekend or these past weeks when they've been doing these rallies at the borders, not many people are showing up. So I want to bring this back to the topic today of the power of MAGA on single issues like immigration. Do you think the trucker convoy in Canada was successful? And why are you not seeing that same type of success when it comes to immigration orders in the United States at the southern border?
Well, if you're talking to me, I think that as far as the rallies and people not showing up, I don't know. I mean, I can't answer for anybody else. But I will say this. Listen to this. John Kirby, the national security spokesman, when asked, why would you want to take down the barbed wire, the razor fences, if it's keeping the people out? And his answer was, well, the border agents have to do their jobs. They have to process the people. So think about that. We have to let the illegals in. So the border agents, and they think their job is to process them, not to keep them out. That's the logic, this sick, twisted, demented logic of this administration. Oh, we don't want to keep them out because the border agents have to do their job. That's insanity.
Well, Jesse, you look at this from an actual policy standpoint. Do you feel like any of the bills that are being crafted right now in Washington, D.C. are actually going to help bring by both sides of the aisle, are actually going to bring a solution to this problem?
Well, the bill that was passed in the House of Representatives called H.R. 2 definitely would restore security at our border. It would end the catch and release. It would reform the asylum system in a constructive way so that it can't be abused by illegal migrants making frivolous asylum claims. It would go after sanctuary cities. It would go after employers who egregiously hire illegal workers and bypass American workers. It would give money to ICE to enforce the immigration laws in the interior of the country, you know, all the 8 million illegal aliens that Biden has allowed in. So yes, that's a solution, and there are executive actions that could be taken as well. But this deal that was just negotiated and went down in flames in the Senate was not a border security bill. It was a massive codification of the disastrous and reckless Biden administration catch and release policies with increases in legal immigration on top of it. I mean, what kind of a bit, I mean, did they really think people were going to vote for a bill that during a mass migration crisis required the government to let inadmissible migrants through the ports of entry? It was nonsense, and it was doomed to fail.
Well, Alan, since you don't think that necessarily there's a problem, this is just being used by Republicans, then why are Democrats all of a sudden putting attention to this in the House and the Senate right now in Washington, D.C.? You've been up on the Hill before. Nothing usually gets done. It takes a lot. And yet you are having Democrats starting to have the conversation about what is going on at the southern border. Could you even think that this might even affect the election in some form?
Well, look, the Republicans, including on this show, apparently, are simply lying about the Democrats. There is no open border policy. There never has been. It's nonsense. If there were an open border policy, would Biden have arrested 2.5 million people at the southern border last year? This is just absolute flagrant nonsense. And the Democrats are responding to it because they have to respond to every lie. If you don't respond to a lie, people assume it's true. How many times do we hear about the lies about Obamacare through 60 votes to repeal it? Now it's the border, the border, the border. And it's simply because the Republicans are desperate to play upon people's fear and people's hatred.
Well,
it's true that immigrants can't vote.
Congressman, are you living? Are you living in a different world?
Don't interrupt me.
Are you like?
Don't interrupt
me. Have you been watching anything?
Is it your turn? I mean, are you really that rude?
Well, but here's the thing, though. I don't like. I would never let anybody call anybody a liar. I don't think anybody purposely lies on the show. That being said, this is definitely a political issue, and so you kind of fire back and forth. But if there isn't, the reason, what do you respond to, Alan, to say the reason why Joe Biden's arrested more than Donald Trump did? Because there's more coming across the border to arrest than when Donald Trump was in his policies on.
Less during the,
and the big difference is that the Biden administration is letting the people that they arrest into the country instead of removing them, which is what happened under every other president, including Barack Obama.
Okay, so Alan, finish what you're saying, and I'll let you back in.
Okay. The only reason why the flow was reduced during the last administration is because of COVID. It's because Mexicans knew that across the border, they'd very likely die. And that was a temporary situation. Now we're basically back to normal, except for the fact the Biden administration is, in fact, enforcing the law, despite the fact that people natter on endlessly about open borders, which simply isn't the case. That is a lie.
Well, then I'm gonna let Steve have a word here because you were objecting to it. Steve, you're in New York City right now. If we do not have a problem with illegal immigration, why is the mayor asking for money and the governor asking for more money from the federal government to help subsidize what is happening in their own city?
Well, you know, even Eric Adams and Kathy Hochul have said that the administration is not doing enough to help facilitate the needs of the city, which has been overrun. And I'm glad that it's been overrun because Texas should not have to bear the burden of the Biden policy. While these cities like New York City call themselves sanctuary cities proudly, but then it's our Martha's Vineyard, but like, oh, don't send them to us. We're a sanctuary city, but we don't want them. So I'm glad that New York and other cities are tasting what it's like for Texas. And it's only a little taste. But it's outrageous. And we all saw the two police officers beaten by a bunch of illegal thugs. And that's a big problem, especially in New York City right now and elsewhere around the country. Crime from illegals.
Well, I'm glad you're not Donald Trump, because if you called somebody a thug, it would be national headlines on that, Steve Malford. I want my panel to stick around because we're going to continue this discussion. Because I guess all the attention at the border has started to take a toll on politicians on both sides of the aisle. Because when we return, we're going to look at the legislation being proposed on the federal level. And if it solves the problem, then why is one border state governor having to make his own border security policies? We'll be right back.
Take a fresh look around at life. Kaleidoscopic, isn't it? A shattered reality distorted by power. Tired vision with no real opinions. Pictures designed to simplify or confuse. Who really wants a better world? And is it just for the chosen few? Fractured images presented as fact.
Can you see through their illusions? Going underground can.
Welcome back. I'm Skynell Hughes, and you are watching 360 View. Texas Governor Greg Abbott is defying the wishes of President Biden, as well as the Supreme Court, and is expanding Operation Lone Star. Now, this is a controversial border security initiative that he launched in 2021. The operation has included deploying Texas National Guard members along the Mexican border, installing a floating barrier in the Rio Grande River, and initiating safety inspections on commercial trucks arriving at ports of entry from Mexico. So are governors in America going to start making their own policies for their states when the federal government fails to? Well, let's bring back in our panel. We have former Democratic Congressman from Florida, Alan Grayson, political analyst Steve Malzberg, and director of policy studies at the Center of Immigration Studies, Jesse Vaughn. You know, before we left, there was one question that I wanted to carry over from, and I want to actually go back to you, Alan Grayson, on this one. Because at this stage, this past, over some of these rallies, there was one stage that featured an anti-immigrant, fear-mongering, and anti-trans bigotry wrapped in a Christian nationalist package. Now, that was what was quoted, observed from one reporter for Vice magazine. And as you've looked into these rallies that have been happening at the border at this time, is that what you sort of glean from the message that is happening at these rallies?
I think it's largely a failure. These rallies, the fundamental message is that they're a failure, that despite their best efforts, the Republicans are having difficulty whipping up people's fear and hatred against other people. And the result of that is that they probably will fail in November. And compare that to what we were talking about before in the Tea Party. What happened in the Tea Party is that the Koch brothers spent hundreds of millions of dollars to bus people in on these protests, put them up in nice hotels, show them a good time in Washington, D.C., let them feel as if they were on vacation, while Fox News and CNBC relentlessly promoted these events. That's not happening now. That's not happening now because the Koch brothers are on the other side of this right now. They want their cheap labor costs crossing the border as much as they can so they can staff their refineries in Texas. And obviously, Fox News and Trump don't get along that well these days. So what's happened is that the money and the power that was put behind the Tea Party protests simply isn't there right now for these protests.
You know, Steve Malzberg and Alan, I know you probably don't agree with anything, but Steve, you have to agree with what Alan just said. The dynamics have changed, especially amongst the traditional Republican support, including the Koch brothers, as they have been very much pro the Chamber of Commerce position of open border agreements with Mexico and the immigration issue. How has that changed the dynamics within the Republican Party and the motivation of the people within that make up the party?
Well, I think... The American public in general, if you look at the polls, overwhelmingly by almost 40%, they say Donald Trump is better equipped to handle the immigration problem than it is Joe Biden. Abortion is dwarfed in order of importance by immigration, which is right up there with the economy. And I know the left likes to cry, you know, that abortion is going to be their winning issue. To say that Americans don't care and it's not working and no one's interested and this is a made up issue and you've got to be living underground. You've got to be out of touch with America. Everybody's talking about this. You got them emptying schools in New York City to house illegals. Say, let the kids learn from home. You've got people sleeping in the streets, beating up cops. I mean, you can't walk the streets. And nobody cares. This is a made-up issue. And again, it's all Joe Biden's fault because he undid everything that Donald Trump put in place to keep it in check. He undid it on day one with his pen, and he could do it again in reverse. But he pretends, and the media is complicit in this, and so are Democrats like the congressman here. They say, oh, no, it's got to be Congress to do it. Baloney.
Well, one person who's doing something about it is Governor Abbott. So, Jesse, do you agree with how Governor Abbott has handled the situation in the past and his decision about taking actions into his own hand in light of the federal government not doing what he feels is necessary for the people of his state?
Yes, I think Governor Abbott needs to be applauded for trying to take control of the situation and doing the job the federal government will not do with respect to keeping the border secure. He has to do this for the sake of the citizens of Texas and, frankly, the citizens of the rest of the country. He has shown also that we actually can control the border if we have the right leadership and the will to do so. He has shut down the parts of the border that he has tried to get control of. He's taken over entire islands in the river border that were occupied by the cartels with impunity, that were part of U.S. territory. So he showed us exactly what can be done. And I think not only Texans, but also Americans all over the country appreciate it. And, you know, he's been the target for a lot of criticism by the sanctuary mayors and governors for sending illegal migrants that have been released by the Biden administration into their jurisdictions. But in fact, that's just a small share of the total number of illegal border crossers who've been allowed to come in. And those people are voting with their feet and heading for the sanctuaries. So, you know, I think we all should be thankful for what Texas has been willing to do.
But Alan, I'm going to look at this long term, because I know Governor Newsom's not going to do what Governor Abbott has done at his border. But I want to think on this from a broader scale. Could this be the opening of a new approach we see by governors who do not agree with the federal government's policy, not only on this case, but any case that they don't agree with what the man in the Oval Office is doing and the policies they put forward? Could governors just start making their own policies for what they feel is best in their state?
Well, that is why we have the Civil War, you may recall.
Yes.
I mean, the whole thing is it's literally immigration theater by the Republicans. The fact that Ron DeSantis running for president would waste $10 million of Florida taxpayer money to fly, 75 undocumented people from Texas to Martha's Vineyard just so that he can get on Fox News, that shows you that it's all just fake. It's fake nonsense. And who is, by the way, paying for those people to be flown or trucked away from Texas to New York or anywhere else? And why do we call New York and Martha's Vineyard sanctuary cities when they've never said that? I mean, what is this pathological need that the right wing seems to have to make stuff up that isn't even true? Where
Excuse
is that
me, New York
from?
City is not a sanctuary city? Is that what you're saying? New York City
I'm saying
is not
New York
a sanctuary city?
New York City has never said we welcome immigrants with open arms or anything like that in the way that you're saying. They're not saying to
New York
illegals
City
across the border,
is officially a sanctuary city.
I don't think that's true.
But do you agree that there are sanctuaries? Do you agree that there are sanctuary cities in the United States, Alan? Can we agree on that point that there are governments that have said that they will not let ICE arrest illegal immigrants within their borders, that they are welcome in their town, not welcome, but they are protected in their borders?
Well, that actually is the law. What they're saying is actually the law.
Well, there are certain mayors, there are certain cities where the mayors will not allow ICE to go in and arrest people that they know are illegally within the city, that they're protected to be in there.
No, that's not what's happened with the sanctuary cities. What's happened is that illegally, ICE has tried to recruit local police forces to help them in their work. And that's a violation of federalism, to have state police officers working with the federal government. And the sanctuary cities have said, that's illegal. We're not going to do that. And the courts have
said
the same thing.
Really? So state police officers don't work with the FBI? That's illegal?
For immigration law, yes, that's illegal. Go look at what the courts have said.
Why don't we
this.
Ask our expert? First of all, I just want to make sure. Am I right? Yeah. Is New York City a sanctuary city?
Yes, indeed. It's illegal
Thank
for
you.
Any public official in New York to communicate with immigration authorities or to spend any public funds on cooperating with the feds for immigration purposes.
Oh, so that's what we're redefining now what sanctuary city means? Is that what it's
no,
come to?
No, they call themselves that.
Make up this phrase
it's
and then have it mean whatever
US
you want it to mean, like the Red Queen.
1376.
Let's go. Jesse, what were you saying? U.S. Code what?
I was going to say there is a federal definition of a sanctuary jurisdiction in federal law, and it says that no state or local jurisdiction may prohibit in any way any local official from communicating with federal immigration authorities. And that is exactly what New York City and about 300 other jurisdictions in the country are doing. Well, and the result is, you know, criminal aliens are protected from immigration enforcement and go on to commit more crimes against citizens and immigrants.
Well, that's the thing. Even looking at this, Alan, even if you say it's just a made-up thing, the Republicans are making it up, do you not wonder, though, don't you see there's some sort of danger to Democrats if you ignore the issue completely and you don't address it, that there are obviously some concerns by the electorate right now? Aren't you worried about this hurting any of not only Joe Biden at the top of the ticket, but any of the candidates underneath him?
If the president is arresting 2.5 million people at the border each year, which is the largest number in all of history, I don't think he's ignoring the problem. You know, you depict Joe Biden as somebody who actually favors open borders. Has Joe Biden or anyone else in the Democratic leadership ever actually said that? No. You feel compelled to put words in his mouth, words in my mouth, you just did that, and words in the mouths of people because you can't make your case on the merits. Of course the law should be enforced. And in fact, Joe Biden has been enforcing it, despite what you say.
Well, I want to thank all three of you. And you know what? Time will tell. The good news is we have an election here in the United States in just a few months, and we'll just see how important this issue is to the voter electorate at that time. Thank you for joining me, Alan, Steve, and Jesse. We will talk again. So let's bring this all back home. The rally at the border was more than just about immigration. I think this was actually about the overall impact the MAGA movement holds in the United States today. Now, there's no debate. The now infamous events on January 6, 2021, and the demonization prosecution which followed has severely hurt public involvement in any gathering which presents the former president and his policies positively. This is exactly what those on the left were hoping to do. And the ones they elected can say they aren't doing anything to take away the constitutional right to peacefully protest from American citizens. Yet, by using intimidation, fear, and retaliation, the same objectives can be accomplished without a law ever being changed. This was the goal all along by those who see the right as the enemy. You know, pardon the violence, the vandalism, the hate, and the vulgarness, which was very present during the Women's March and Black Lives Matter protest. That would never receive near the negative blowback on the cause or the organizers which motivated the protesters, as what we have seen on the January 6th protesters and Donald Trump. With most of pop culture and the media a part of this anti-Trump cabal, they can push whatever narrative necessary to justify silencing anyone who opposes their agenda. And by the looks of the latest protest attendance at the border, they are actually achieving their goal. I'm Skynell Hughes, and this has been your 360 view of the news affecting you. Thanks for watching.